Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Cameron and Levi, thank you so much. You feel like you've been ushered into that throne room this morning? Yeah, me too. I want to ask you this morning to put your faith with me. I've got some things I believe the Lord wants to share with us today. In fact, I know He does. But it's a lot easier when you got people to stand up here and teach. It's a lot easier when you got people who have come expecting to hear. So I just want you in faith to agree with me, and I'm about to pray that we're going to hear exactly what each one of us needs today directly from the Lord. So Father, we just give You praise and glory. We say, Jesus, You are the one, the Holy One, and we dwell in You. Father, today, open the eyes of our hearts. Open the eyes of our understanding that we can see what we have in You, that we can walk more fully in it, and that today, that people who have come bound up will leave free and just fly away in all that You've purchased for us, Jesus. Holy Spirit, have Your way in this service. And we just declare we will be changed. We'll leave here not the same as we came in. And we give You, Jesus, all the praise and glory and honor. Amen and amen. Well, I've got notes for you because I'm going to use a lot of scriptures that we don't have on our overhead, a lot of translations. And I apologize because I've added a couple of to them, and I forgot to go back and put them on the handout that you got, but there's just a couple, and I'll tell you where you can get them. The Lord has led me to maybe finish up today talking about righteousness. I don't know, but we're going to talk about righteousness at work in healing. So go with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, and we're going to, a lot of the scriptures, some of the scriptures we're going to use today, we've already used, but we're not going to assume we know them, are we? We're going to listen with an open heart to hear. This is really where we've been anchored. He, the Father, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Now, I know it says to be sin, and that's what He's saying, but literally that says He made Him who knew no sin, sin. Whose sin did He make Him that with? Ours, yours and mine. And He did it on your behalf so that you and I might become the righteousness of God in our Christ Jesus. Amen. And so the righteousness of God, that's who we have become. Righteousness, as you know, means a right standing with God. Let me say it this way. Being made righteous, and this is good for you to remember as we talk through today, is really like you seeing yourself with no blemishes. Because you're seeing yourself, and what we're going to see is we need to see ourselves in this way because that's the way Jesus looks at you. That's the way the Father looks at you. So this was a great exchange with Jesus. He got my sin, and I got, as a gift, righteousness, something I can't earn. And I've said this several times, but it's more important. You are as righteous today as you will ever be. Now, notice what I did not say. I did not say that you know that you are righteous. But we've been made righteous, and that's what we've got to renew our mind to, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about, so that we begin to see ourselves just like Jesus sees us. Let me read you the Passion Translation. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with Him, united in spirit with Jesus. So as we go through this today, I want you to see this as a completed work, but I also want you to begin to see healing as a completed work. And from His view, now, there are no hindrances in us receiving, coming to know, and walking in this righteousness. There's no hindrances. And can I say the same thing is going to be true of our healing? There are no hindrances from His point of view of why we can't walk in healing as this force of righteousness works with us. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by the transgression of one," talking about Adam, "death reigns through the one, much more," not just a little bit more, but much more, "those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus." And that's really what I want to focus on today, is this reigning in life through the one, Christ Jesus. And how do we do that? We do it through the grace and the gift of righteousness that we've been given. Both of those are necessary. Now, a lot of people say, "Yeah, I'm going to reign in life," but they put that off until I get to heaven. No. It is for you and I for today, this life here on earth, and certainly that life in heaven. Let me read you the New Living Translation for this verse. And all of these verses except for two at the end are on your notes when I'm deviating from King James or New American Standard. It reads, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it." Now I'm going to repeat that line again. We read it in this one earlier, but I read through it. "For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and over death." That's the reigning in life through this one man. Now, this phrase, "receive it," you know, it's the word lambano, which means to take. And I could say, "Here, I'm giving you my Bible, it's yours." But if I held it out and you didn't come and get it, it really wouldn't do you any good, would it? So when we talk about receiving, I just don't want us to think, "I've been made righteous and that's the end of it." No, we have to take it and know it for ourselves. And how do we know this? How do we know that we're seeing ourselves as righteous? Because when you do, you're going to begin to speak it. And we're going to see a couple of verses that really make why that's so very important. The Passion Translation reads, "Death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned," there's that word again, "death reigned as king over humanity. But now, how much more are we who are held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness of the one and only Jesus." Now, reigning in this freedom, what freedom is it talking about there? Freedom from sin. And too many people put a period there. But it's more than that. It's reigning over sin and what sin brought on this earth, like healing. And you'll see that more and more today. So when we talk about reigning in life then, as a king would, I will ask you, what kingdom are we talking about reigning in? Well, it's God's kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. But who are we reigning over then is the question. If it's a spiritual kingdom, who are we reigning over as kings? We're reigning over the one who brought sin and its impact. We're exercising dominion over the devil and everything that he brought with it. Now, how was this made possible? And we're not going to put this one up on the screen, but it's Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And I want to read it from another translation. I'm going to read it from Young's Literal again. And can I just say, as I was putting these notes together and going over them, I heard the Lord say, and so I'm going to say it to you, do not ever get tired of us at Healing School reading this one scripture. because it is the foundation of everything we have pertaining to grace and righteousness and healing. So Young's literal translation, and again, it doesn't read as smoothly, but I think you'll see it. Surely our sicknesses he's borne. That means he took them upon himself. Now sicknesses is the what that word literally means. And then it says, in our pains, which is the Hebrew word M-A-K-A-B, it says, he has carried them. And this term carried has a connotation of carrying them away. Now, is there a good illustration of that in the Bible? Yes. Do you remember when they would lay their hands on the lamb and send him out to the wilderness, the scapegoat, and they would send him out? That's the same thing that they saw, is that goat carrying their sins away. Now, what you may not know is they were to sign people to go follow him, make sure he got to the desert and to the cliffs in the desert, and if he didn't fall, they would push him over the cliff so that they could be sure that their atonement was complete. Now, Jesus carried our pains in that manner. It goes on to say, but we esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. So note this word, afflicted. We're going to be talking about it. And he is pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. So by those two things, we were able to be made the righteousness of God because he took care of the sin issue. But it continues. The chastisement, that word chastisement literally means punishment with blows. So he bore the pain of all this chastisement. Why? Of our peace. So all the things that would cause us not to be at peace went to him. And then it concludes by saying, and by his bruise. And that word in the Hebrew language means a stripe or a blue welt, as if the skin were hit, broken open, and it was blue all around it. That's what that word really means. So Jesus took that, and by his bruise, there is healing to us. So, isn't it interesting? Go back to verse, or let me tell you, look back at verse 4 on yours. It said, he was afflicted. Now, we thought Jesus was afflicted. Why? Because, or the Jews did, because they were punishing him because he was saying, God is my Father. But he was afflicted with the affliction that was due for you and me. That was the way he was afflicted. We're going to see this even stronger in a moment. So there is a spiritual part, and there is a part dealing with our soul and our body or our flesh in this same act of redemption, the redemptive work. We've been made righteous in our spirit, He provided us peace through that righteousness. And I'll just remind you, I won't go back to it, but Isaiah 32:17 says the work or the effect of righteousness is peace. Now, when you think about peace today, I don't want you to think about absence of wars, but I want you to think about the fact that your relationship with God is so complete that there's nothing missing and nothing broken in your spirit, in your soul, and with healing in our body. Now, so many people say, well, if I had to choose, I'd choose spiritual healing. Well, I probably would too. But the fact is, we don't have to choose. We don't have to make a determination there because Jesus provided it for both of us. We saw earlier in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that Jesus was made sin so that you could be made what? The righteousness of God in him. So is there another verse that talks about the physical part of that in our healing? Yeah. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. reads this way. It says, and this is in the New Living, "This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, He took our sicknesses and removed," or we would say what now? "Carried away our diseases." So we have verses that corroborate what we've been seeing in this one here. And I believe those have been given by the Holy Spirit so that we have no doubt that the same work accomplished a cleansing such that nothing missing, nothing broken, spirit, soul, and body. Your whole being is to be whole. That's how you ought to see yourself. I'm whole in my spirit. My mind has been renewed. My soul is coming into alignment with my spirit. I'm redeemed there. I have peace. And we ought to see our bodies come to us in the same way. Now, how does this belong to us? Well, and it belongs to us today. John 1, Big John, verse 12, New King James. "But as many as received him," there's that word again. So it's taking him, but it's also what? A knowing of who he is and what he's done. "So when we received him as our Redeemer, to them he gave the right to become children of God." So I'll just say heirs of every promise that the Father has given to us. And look at how it happens. "To those who believe in him." Amen. You're like Abraham. For Abraham, when he believed God and acted on what God said, it was imputed. That's a accounting term, which means it was credited to him as righteousness. But now on this side of the cross that we live, that righteousness is not just credited to you. You now dwell in the righteous one. And the righteous one dwells in you. And that's how we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. What? As we believe. Now there's one more verse I want to use to set up the next series of verses we're going to use. And that's in Isaiah 53, verse 7. And the Lord called my attention to this, and really he corrected me to say, a lot of times you teach 4 and 5, but this one is really important. "He," who is that talking about? Jesus, "was oppressed and he was afflicted." Now the word "oppressed" there means to tax. Now I'm not just talking about sales tax or something like that, to lay a burden upon, like it in a heavy manner. The word "oppressed" there can mean harass or to tyrannize. So it gives you some idea of what he went through. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers, he opened his mouth. He opened not his mouth." And we're so glad he did. Because if this oppression and affliction had come upon him, he said, "I can't take it," then you and I would be in a world of hurt. Now, I chose those words, I believe, from the Spirit there. "I can't take it no more." Because we say that sometimes. "Lord, you got to do something. I just can't take it." And what I want you to begin to see is Jesus took this oppression and this affliction for you and I. So now go to Isaiah 54, starting in verse 10. And on my notes, I wrote out, "O afflicted one." And you'll see why when we get to verse 11. Verse 10, talking about the covenant that has been put in place, a covenant of righteousness. It says, "For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness," Hebrew word hesed, which means covenant love, also translated mercy, "will not be removed from you." Yeah, but I sinned. His covenant love will not be removed from you. You can put whatever but you want to. That's not going to change. And man, a smile ought to come to our face versus a frown, because you're thinking, oh, I've done that. But let the smile begin to come out. And then it says, and my covenant of peace. Now, how does peace come? Through righteousness. So my covenant of peace, my covenant that says nothing missing, nothing broken, will not be shaken. So if we miss it, then His covenant is stable. That's not going to cause it to be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. And then we get to verse 11. And Mary, we're just going to stay here a while. O you afflicted one, or O afflicted one, storm-tossed, and I'm going to read this with some other translations interspersed in here. Storm-tossed, or you might say tossed with tempest, and not comforted. I would say no consolation, no hope. That's how we were before Jesus, without God and without hope. Now, I want to just stop there, because I want to talk about this word afflicted. In the Hebrew, this word means depressed in mind or circumstances. It comes from a root word which implies to be beat down. Now, there were some other words that were used, but I thought that said it better. So that's my words. That's not coming from Strong's or anywhere else. So a person who is beat down, how do you often see that person? Where's their head? Held high, or things aren't going so good for me anymore? It's down. Their eyes are down. The glory and the lifter of my head. Do you know what that's really talking about? Going to someone who was in this pressed down condition and you lifting up his head? See Jesus doing that for you in what we're talking about here this morning. Another thing that we say when we're always looking down is, I just can't seem to catch a break. Every time I get over this cold, then my arthritis starts. And on we sometimes go. Now, I'm not condemning you, because if we asked to raise hands about who's guilty doing some of this, there have been times when both my hands would have to go up. But when we're that way, we can't seem to catch a break. Oftentimes we would call ourselves, I'm so weak, I'm poor. So I just wrote poor and weak in my notes. But when we are weak in ourselves, what does the New Testament tell us? He is strong. And we're supposed to say, I am strong. So just remember some of that. The other thing that I wanted to mention in there is that these conditions sound like, in both oppression and affliction, that it could apply to issues in my soulish realm of fretting and worrying and depression, as well as things in this physical flesh that we live on this earth in. So this is what afflicted means. Now, this verse goes on and says, O afflicted one. So I'm going to restart back at the beginning, since I've kind of interrupted your thought pattern. And I want to read this in the New American Standard. You can parallel with what's on the screen. O afflicted one, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, no consolation or hope, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, and I'll lay your foundations with sapphires, and I will make pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystals, and all your walls will be precious stones. Do you remember in the last session where we ended talking about we've been made righteous because He wants a bride who is beautiful as He is, just like we were singing about, beautiful in holiness. This is what He's telling us here. He says, I'm going to make you in this covenant of peace, this covenant of righteousness, to be beautiful in my sight. Then it's got a great promise for us. All of our children shall be taught by the Lord, and the well-being or the peace of our sons will be great. What a great profession. But I want you to begin to see, knowing righteousness, knowing your righteousness, seeing yourself that way, has an impact on how you believe that right there. And then verse 14. Now, I know we've read this one multiple times in these last, counting today, four times I've been teaching on this. In righteousness, you will be established, set on a firm foundation. In other words, seeing yourself as God sees you, righteous in Christ Jesus. So it's important. I mean, we just see this over and over, don't we? And look at the impact from it. You will be far from oppression. Why? Why will you be far from oppression? Well, what did we just read in 53:7? He was oppressed. So you'll be far from oppression. It goes on and says, for you shall not fear. How is that possible? Well, what does a king do if he sees an uprising in the kingdom? He speaks a word and the soldiers go take care of it. You have authority over the one who could bring you fear and terror. And we need to reign in life as a king speaking to it. Now, when I say all this, when I say affliction and oppression or even terror, we're talking about healing today. Even if a diagnosis, I have a friend in Tennessee that I love dearly, and he has got a diagnosis of cancer. And you know what he says? I'm in peace because he knows his righteousness. And he can walk in peace, and he's going to walk it out just like our friend Mark has, knowing that righteousness. So, authority and dominion, terror won't come near us, is how it ends saying. Now, I want to look at some verses here, but let me tell you what this is telling me. To me, it sounds like Jesus is bringing to us that the Father's prophesying to us and saying, my words, not New King James, I'm providing or I'm giving or I'm making a way out for you of whatever comes against you. In other words, we are not without hope, so that you can live in peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, in our spirit, in our soul, and in our flesh. And I'm going to provide you a way to stay that way, so that you're not up and down. Oh, that's what being established. That's why we need a firm foundation in righteousness. So when those things come against us, we may rock back a little bit, but our feet are not moved. That's what we have. So let's look at some verses that describe it. Go with me to Proverbs 28, verse 12. Now, as you're going to this, listen to me before you start reading. Let me remind you, we looked twice at Isaiah 58, verse 8, and I'll refresh you on it. It says, talking about a prophetic word, that righteousness would lead or prepare the way for us. And then who did it say was going to be our rear guard? The Father was going to be our rear guard. And then right after that, it says, that's when your healing is going to spring forth speedily. So that's the thought pattern I want you to have when you think about in the way of righteousness, Jesus leading me with his righteousness, Father following behind me, and healing on the way quickly. In the way of the righteous is life. Now that word for life there in the Hebrew literally means alive, strong, or it means fresh. And you're going to see that that fresh is also going to be described to you as we talk about you flourishing. As a flower would what? Bloom and come open. You would call it a fresh flower, not one that is wilting and fading away, as often we may see ourselves. And then it goes on and says, and in its pathway there is no death. Now, we know that this is primarily talking about spiritual death because we're going to have to lay down here, this body. But we can do so without terror or fear. And we do that by the first fruits of healing, partaking in our first fruits. And who is our first fruit? It's not just an offering. It is Jesus who made that offering. And what does it say about him? That the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if it abides in you, it will quicken. A better translation for you and I would mean make alive. Make alive what? Well, it's made our spirit alive. It's created a peace in our heart and our soul. And it will make our flesh alive or restore what has been stolen from it. Psalms 34, verse 19. Now, there is no doubt that afflictions will try to come upon us. And how will they try to come upon us? Who is sending them to try to come upon you? The enemy of your soul, the devil. So look what this says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them. Say it with me. All. Lord, if you'll just heal this cancer, I'll take the headache. No. He'll deliver out of them, deliver your eye out of this all. Now, this word affliction in this verse literally means bad or evil. So that gives us a pretty good clue of where it's coming from, doesn't it? Because only good things come from God. And so what he's saying here is that things come against us of every variety, attacking our health. We can declare, Jesus took my afflictions, he took my diseases, and I've been made whole. Now, the devil is going to attempt to rule and reign via his kingdom over you and I. But what do we know? He has no authority. You're going to see in a moment, he can accuse you. But you've got a response for that, and it involves righteousness. Proverbs 24:16. The first part of it is all I really want to read. But a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. Another translation that says a righteous man may fall seven times and rises again, meaning each time. That's you and I. But can I tell you that to do that, we're going to have to be established in our righteousness. And I'll read you, let me go ahead and read you this next verse and I'll come back to it. Proverbs 28:1. Says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Sometimes when we get knocked down, it's easier for us to stay down that third or fourth time versus being bold and standing up and saying, no, the healing is mine. And so that boldness comes through what? Having confidence that you've been made righteous. I go back to Isaiah 32:17. The work or effect of righteousness is peace. And then it describes peace as confidence and rest. So you've got to have confidence in these words that we're reading today that Jesus has spoken. He is the Word that the Holy Spirit is putting into our hearts, so that we can see this boldness begin to come about. And what are we supposed to do? Hebrews 4:16, I believe. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, are you going to be able to go to the throne of grace and look at Jesus and the Father in the face, thinking about how bad you missed it yesterday? No, I like to say, I'm going to find one of the pastors and I'm going to follow their coattail in. I mean, that's the example of not being bold. If you want to see someone righteous, where should you look? Should you look at Trey or Robert? Certainly you don't need to look at me. All you need to do is look in the mirror. And you ought to see yourself as righteous because that's who Jesus declared that you were. So we're bold and confident when we come in righteousness to Him. Psalm 37, how are we doing? 39, verse 39. But the salvation, now salvation there means literally to rescue. It means deliverance, safety, victory. Sounds like reigning in life to me, doesn't it? But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. But part of this righteousness is being what? Confident in your ability to stand strong. Look at the last phrase. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength. He is your strength today in time of trouble. O righteous one, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And again, when I am weak, He is strong. Psalm 72, verse 7. In His days. So let's just stop there. Whose days? Who are we talking about? I think we're talking about the days of the reign of our King Jesus. So we're talking about today. In His days, the righteous shall flourish. Now, underline that one or take note, make a mental note of it. So in His days, we're going to flourish and we will have an abundance of peace. And that's going to be that way until the moon is no more. And then we're going to be in His presence, in the light of the one who is peace. So in the days of His reign, today, we should flourish. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, the cedar in Lebanon were known of being a very strong wood, straight and tall, standing up erect, looking face to face at the enemy and dealing with what you need to speak to him. Let me define this word flourish for you. To break forth as a bud. That is, to bloom. But the generality of what that really means is for something to spread out. So what does a bloom do? It opens up and spreads out. This word is used in the Hebrew language for the phrase to fly. To spread your wings and be free to fly. That's the way you need to see yourself as righteous. Now, when we bloom, when we're flourishing, we show His beauty. And so don't be surprised if people talk about when great things happen, when things start back working that haven't worked, when diagnosis was ruled, well, we must have made a mistake. I don't know what's happened. But when the power of God comes on you, He's bringing beauty to you. And we need to be open about it. Psalm 92, verse 13 through 15 says something similar. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. Then it goes on, and that ought to mean a little more to us now, flying free, being free from all encumbrances, being free from all oppression and affliction. 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. Amen. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, To those of you who aren't as old as I am, and you're probably, I know one that's raising his hand back in the back left. That's okay. I almost lost my train of thought there when I said that. To those of you who are younger than I, start confessing this today. Start declaring what your older age is going to look like. And for those of us who are there, He will redeem the time if we'll start declaring it over ourselves. See yourself as flourishing. Miss Jean and my mom, they still say things that encourage me, that make me laugh. It brings joy and happiness, and laughter is good medicine. We know that. So, 97, 93, we're way up there. I mean, that's a far piece from me. So, why are we doing this? To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. So, I go back to the beginning. Where are you? In Him. In Him. So, how much unrighteousness is there in you? He's made you righteous with His righteousness. Now, wrap this part up, and we may just have to unplug here, and I'll pick up next week because I'm teaching again next week. Proverbs 12. Yes, sir, I do see why you said that to me. Excuse me. Proverbs 12, the third verse, the B part, and this is one I meant to put on your notes. This will work fine. This is the English Standard Version. No one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. Now you are rooted and grounded, according to what we read earlier, planted in the courts of the Lord, planted in the love, planted in the righteousness. What flows from the roots up through the core of the tree to the branches that Jesus described us as? Whatever's in the root flows to those branches. You are being established as we stay firm, stand firm in Him. The root of the righteous isn't going to be moved. The tree may sway, but what do we know? We're continually getting that nourishment up from the roots. It's got us firmly connected so that we know where we're planting. Can I just say this? Affliction and oppression cannot stand, cannot last, will not stay before an immovable root of righteousness. So we'll stop here and we'll pick back up in this same vein next week. But the word I heard last night about healing today was there are some of us who have seen ourselves more as oppressed and afflicted and not seen ourselves as flourishing, as a bloom would open up. We're not seeing ourselves with our wings spreading out and going free out in that wide open space that we've been given to live in. So let me just pray for those of you who are believing for healing, and that's probably everyone in here for something, and that's fine. But I want you to begin as we pray. I want you just to close your eyes. And the first thing I want you to begin to see is you standing yourself, right by yourself, not with anybody else, right before our Father God, at His throne, beholding the righteous one. See Jesus at His right hand. See, I did that right for those of you who are looking at me. Seeing Jesus at His right hand. Seeing them look at you as just as righteous as you're seeing them. Now I want you to begin to just not look away from them, but at the same time you're looking at them, seeing His righteousness, I want you to begin to visualize yourself as being that same righteousness. See it growing inside you. Maybe some of us have a long way to go in it. I certainly am not close to where I think the Lord wants me to be in walking and understanding in the fullness of this righteousness. You'll see some more of that next week. But today, I just want you to see yourself as the Father sees you. And as you do, let that boldness rise up and get pushed out of your comfort zone as an eagle would push an eaglet out of the nest and it flies away, spreads its wings and flies away. And as you see yourself doing that, just see healing immersing itself over and in you. What did the verse, one of the verses we said earlier? For the righteous, He will be their strength. We're not doing this in our own ability. The strength of God through His righteousness that you've been made, placed in a union with Him, is flowing through you now to strengthen your body. See yourself beginning to lift your head up and look straight ahead. And I'll go ahead and tell you today, one of the things we're going to begin to declare, when the devil accuses you or condemns you, your response just needs to be, not me. I'm righteous. Made worthy to behold the Holy One face to face, just as Cameron was leading us in the worship this morning. So, Father, we just look at You. We receive from You. And we say, thank You, Jesus, that the redemptive work of the cross has made me a new creation, righteous in You. That You've brought peace to my soul. You've placed me in a position of authority over the works of the kingdom of darkness. And we say, evil, You have no reign in my life. I dominate You. Body, the same is true. What knocks us down, I'm going to get up. And if I need to, it'll be a second and a third time. But the end is we win, and You've already lost, devil. And Father, I thank You that as people are increasing in this view of themselves of being righteous, that Your healing power, that force of righteousness, is at work in their life as they behold Your beauty. Oh, and I just thank You again, Lord, that You are preparing us to be a beautiful body together, a beautiful bride for the Holy One of Israel. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Well, bless you. And I won't say walk out free, but fly away free today. And I promise we'll try to wrap up righteousness next week. Well, I say I'll try. You notice that. We'll just see how the Lord leads. Bless you guys. See you next week.